The fifth case for today is Skylink Technologies versus Assurance Corporation of America. Mr. Teagle?
Thank you, Your Honor.
Good morning. Michael Stiegel appearing for Appellant Skylink. This is a coverage case under an insurance policy, and but for the advertising in this case, we probably wouldn't be here. The district court, in our view, cited the correct law and then misapplied it. And in the case of the copyright infringement under the DCMA, the court cited the wrong part of the statute in its analysis. Five of the eight counts in the complaint have at their core false and misleading advertisement. The copyright infringement case, the false description count, the unfair competition count, the consumer fraud and deceptive practices count, and the uniform deceptive practices count. There's no dispute that there is advertising activity here. The dispute is whether the advertising activity falls under the offenses set forth in the insurance policy and whether there was a causal connection between the offenses and the injury. I'd like to begin by talking about the offense that's entitled misappropriation in the policy. And the term misappropriation of an advertising idea and misappropriation of a style of doing business are not defined terms in the policy. They generally have been defined as a wrongful taking of the way that another promotes its business. Here, Chamberlain has alleged in the underlying complaint that it expended substantial monies in advertising and promoting its rolling code concept. Chamberlain then alleges that when Skylink states that its devices are compatible with the Chamberlain devices, that that's false and misleading because actually Chamberlain says that it defeats the rolling code technology that Chamberlain has spent so much money and time promoting. The rolling code technology is an advertising idea and is an advertising concept. And the fact that Skylink chose to use it in its advertising when it advertised it was compatible.
Isn't that a mechanical concept, how the device works, not how it's advertised?
Well, I think that certainly there's a mechanical part to the device that disables the rolling code, but here we're looking at the advertising which says it's compatible with the rolling code when in fact Chamberlain says it was not.
But the injury that's alleged in the complaint and the gravamen of Chamberlain's complaint is the technology that disables that disables their code.
I think that the gravamen of the complaint is that but for the advertising, the false and misleading advertising, the consumer wouldn't have bought the product and they wouldn't have been injured. And in fact, the allegations of the complaint say just that. They say that by virtue of this advertising, there's been a competitive injury and a loss of sales. And I'll just cite, it says, such sales by Skylink of its Model 39 universal transmitter and its Model 89 keypad on the packaging contains such false or misleading description of fact that will damage the reputation of Chamberlain's garage door openers and result in a loss of sales and profits. The complaint goes on to say that it's a loss of Chamberlain's competitive advantage, loss of business reputation, and loss of goodwill, as well as the loss of sales and profits and other losses. I think it's very clear that if you step back from the complaint and don't parse the allegations and look at really what's being alleged here, this is clearly an advertising injury that Chamberlain is complaining about.
The advertising you say they're complaining about is package advertising, that is, words on the package, not
yes, sir.
Magazine or television advertising.
Yes, Judge Ganey. It's clearly on the packaging. It's attached to the amended complaint, a picture of the advertising, which states, compatible with the latest rolling code technology, Chamberlain, LiftMaster, Sears, etc. It's very clear that someone would not have bought this product but for its compatibility with the Chamberlain product. I want to turn, and before I finish with the misappropriation, there are numerous cases that deal with the misappropriation of an advertising idea. For example, the Sim Metal case, the Pure Olive Oil case, Authentic Indian Made. It's hard to distinguish those cases from what is alleged in this complaint. With respect to the copyright offense, copyright infringement offense under the insurance policy, the court used the wrong part of the Digital Millennium Copyright Act. It referred to Section A1, which said that no person shall circumvent a technological measure that effectively controls access to a work protected under this title. Actually, and the lower court that handled the Chamberlain case recognized that Chamberlain was really arguing that Skylink's transmitter violates Section 1201A2 of the Act because the product is marketed for circumvention of Chamberlain's rolling code computer program. And under those circumstances and applying that act, clearly there was a copyright infringement violation that is covered by the policy. Finally, I just want to turn to disparagement very briefly. Disparagement is another term that's not defined in the policy. And given its common meaning, we contend that Chamberlain's statement that the advertising disparages its product actually does that. Chamberlain says that the Skylink product defeats its rolling code technology and it's not compatible. And when Skylink talks about compatibility, what Skylink is really talking about is a false negative comparative statement. And there are a plethora of cases which discuss that. And clearly, when Skylink says it's compatible, what it's saying is that its product is just as good as Chamberlain's, and Chamberlain says no. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Stegall. Mr. Kalanis?
May it please the Court. My name is James Kalianis, and I represent the Defendant Appellee Assurance Company of America. As counsel for Skylink explained, the District Court granted summary judgment in favor of Assurance, finding that it owed no obligation to defend Skylink under the Coverage B section of a general liability policy in connection with the complaints filed in the federal court action and complaint or claim filed in the Canadian action. Contrary to Skylink's assertion in its brief, however, the District Court's opinion reflects a considered analysis of the pleadings, the facts alleged therein, the terms, conditions, and exclusions of the policy, and the applicable case law. Skylink cites the principles supporting the duty to defend and defining the scope of the duty to defend and correctly defines those. It's in the application of that scope and standard that Skylink fails to correctly proceed with that standard. Admittedly, the duty to defend is broader than the duty to indemnify, but it's not limitless. The standard being one where you compare the underlying facts alleged to the terms and conditions of the policy and determine whether a duty to defend is owed. Skylink relies on three offenses within the advertising or personal and advertising injury definition found within the policy. It's selected different ones at different times and prioritized them differently before the District Court in the briefing before this Court and then at oral argument today, beginning today with misappropriation and previously with disparagement, and before that the district court with copyright infringement, trying to find a hole to fit this their underlying case, the case against them brought by Chamberlain within one of those offenses. But the three offenses they rely upon, namely, are the first being disparagement of a person or organization's goods, products, or services, the second being the misappropriation of an advertising idea or style of doing business, and the third being the copyright infringement, importantly committed within an advertisement being defined by the policy. With respect to the disparagement count, or disparagement allegation that Skylink contends the Chamberlain complaints include disparagement against an allegation of disparagement against Skylink, the district court correctly held that that Skylink misrepresented the quality of its own product in its packaging, saying that it was compatible with Chamberlain's garage door openers. And as the district court here has held in Winklevoss 2 and as the district court has held in Zurich versus Sunclips, a case affirmed by this court, it's a statement about the competitor's own goods that relates to a disparagement count, not to a statement about the defendant's goods themselves. And that's also supported by the Ninth Circuit opinion in Microtech Research versus Nationwide, where it was stated that a false statement about one's own goods does not equal disparagement. Disparagement only relates to a statement about a competitor's goods. Skylink makes an effort in its brief to, in its argument before this court, to say that the reference to compatibility in the packaging somehow makes this a cause of action for comparison or comparative advertising, where the defendant might say that their goods are better than the others, than the plaintiffs, or testing proves that our goods are better than yours. But that's certainly not the case in this instance. In fact, it would be nonsensical for Skylink to put on its packaging that there was any problem with Chamberlain's product, because Skylink's product only works in combination with Chamberlain's product. So the disparagement count, really, a disparagement idea really doesn't make sense in what Skylink would put on its packaging as to Chamberlain. The second offense, the one that counsel focused on first today, is the misappropriation of advertising ideas or style of doing business offense. And what that's been defined is the wrongful taking of a manner in which another advertises its goods or services. And again, the district court looked at the allegations in the federal action, looked at the allegations in the Canadian pleadings, and saw that there was no sort of allegation in those pleadings that suggested Chamberlain was contending that the way Skylink packaged its goods, any statements on those packaging, or any references on those packaging were a misappropriation of the manner in which Chamberlain advertises its goods or services. Instead, it was simply a matter of the phrase rolling coal, compatible with rolling coal technology, was included on the package, but there's no reference in the underlying pleadings to suggest that Chamberlain took issue with Skylink's reliance or citation to that phrase, or that Chamberlain somehow owned the rights to that phrase and Skylink was misappropriately using that phrase that was owned by Chamberlain. The final offense that Skylink hopes to put the underlying allegations within is the copyright infringement offense within the definition. And again, it's copyright infringement committed within an advertisement, because there's no debating that the underlying federal court action included a claim for copyright infringement. But as the district court found here, that's not enough. The copyright infringement here was the making or producing of a device that included technology which violated the copyright that Chamberlain contended it owned. Now, that device was subsequently marketed and sold, but as the district court found, and as the courts in Simply Fresh in the Ninth Circuit and Winklevoss 2 in the district here have found, that's simply not enough to pass muster to satisfy the definition of advertising injury, especially the copyright infringement section, which specifically requires that the copyright infringement be committed within the advertisement. Again, something that was not alleged in the underlying pleadings in either the federal court action or the Canadian actions. And then finally, the district court also relied upon an exclusion in the policy, which was not cited in Assurance's original papers before the district court, believing that the allegations in the underlying complaint didn't pass the insuring agreement or the definitions provided by that agreement. And that exclusion provides that there's no coverage if the allegations are arising out of the failure of goods, products, or services to conform with any statement of quality or performance made in the advertisement. Now, if this, there was some glimmer of an allegation here, and Assurance says there's not, that suggested some part of these complaints, the underlying federal or Canadian complaints, fell within the advertising injury insuring agreement of the definitions, as the district court held, that that exclusion would certainly preclude coverage, given that the specific allegations are against Skylink by Chamberlain are that Skylink's goods did not perform as they were intended to or as advertised. In closing, Assurance respectfully requests that the court affirm the well-reasoned opinion of the district court, finding that Assurance owed no duty to defend Skylink with respect to the federal court action or the Canadian action. Thank you.
Thank you, counsel. Mr. Stegall? You have 2 minutes, Mr. Stegall.
I wanted to address Judge Sykes' question one more time about whether the gravamen was the technical nature of the product. We don't believe that there would have been a loss of reputation alleged by Chamberlain if Skylink hadn't advertised that its product was compatible. With respect to the Microtech case, which counsel is relying on, of course, it's a California case, the court noted there that false comparative advertising would constitute disparagement where defendant had been able to establish that it faced potential liability for those advertisements, which is what this case is all about, that we're facing liability for those potential advertisements. The Gray case says that courts did not examine only the pleaded word, but the potential liability created by the suit. And it's hard to read this lawsuit without focusing on the advertising injury that Chamberlain is seeking recompense for, treble damages in certain cases. Thank you.
Thank you. The case will be taken under advisement. And